First Epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, the first chapter, halfway through verse 9. How ye turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to await his Son from the heavens, whom he raised from among the dead, Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. And then in 2 Timothy, second epistle to Timothy, chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. Use diligence to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and is gone to Thessalonica. And then in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 44, wherefore ye also be ye ready, for in that hour that ye think not, the Son of Man comes. Who then is the faithful and prudent bondman, whom his Lord has set over his household, to give them food in season? Blessed is that bondman, whom his Lord on coming shall find doing thus. The Lord's coming is very near, and I believe that the Holy Spirit loves to draw attention to it. The coming of the Lord. There are some believers who don't think much about the coming of the Lord. I'm sure that every true lover of the Lord Jesus has found that. In speaking to some persons, you find that they're not aware that the Lord's coming is near. I was talking to a lady the other day, a retired headmistress. Met her in the train, only a short journey, about 10 minutes. We were talking about being ready for death. It's an important thing, you know. Education in school is preparation for life. You know, it's very important that we're prepared for death. We were singing of the one who once for guilty sinners was slain, the one who died, that we might live. And this dear soul was speaking of how every day she just checked up on where she stood with God as to whether she were ready that day to die. And she knew that if she died, she would be with Christ, which is very much better. What a wonderful prospect the believer has. But you know, I'm not exactly looking to die. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing to be prepared every day for his coming. Mr. Darby says, of course, that if we knew that the Lord were coming today, would it make any difference in our lives? Himself, of course it would. Of course it would. If the Lord Jesus were coming today, if we knew he was coming today, what a difference it would make in our lives. Well, we often say that we're looking for his coming. I trust we're not in any sense being hypocritical in that. It's an interesting question to ask yourself. Whether you want the Lord to come today, or whether you'd rather he came in, say, 5 years' time. Are you ready for his coming? Am I looking for his coming? And along with that question, there's another one. What would I like to be found doing when he comes? Over the moment of his coming, you have no control. He's coming soon. It might be today. As I've said before, dear old Charles Spurgeon used to close each day by saying, Lord, I'm sorry thou hast not come today, but perhaps tomorrow, Lord. Wonderful thing to be prepared for his coming and looking for it. But his coming is near. Very near. There is a question that comes home as a test to my heart. What would I like to be found doing when he comes? Wonderful moment it will be when he comes. We speak of the coming of the Lord, and we were singing of what it will be when he comes to take up his rights here. We have the thought of the Lord's coming. That is the rapture. When I trust every heart here, every person here, will go to be with him, the one whom we love, the one who gave himself at Calvary, and who died there, and whose precious blood has redeemed us. He's coming for us. The dead in Christ will rise first. Everyone. And we, the living who remain. What a thing it will be to hear his voice at that moment. And then after that, there will be his appearing. When in the very scene that has rejected him, he will take up his rights. And we shall be with him. His saints by man rejected. Jesus is rejected by man. It's a great thing to follow in his steps and know something of the rejection of men in your life here, as you follow the perfect model in the pathway of suffering in testimony to God. What a wonderful thing it will be when he appears and he takes up his rights that have long, so long been publicly denied him. When the scripture we were looking at in Jeremiah 33 is fulfilled literally. When Jerusalem will be inhabited by a people who will unitedly praise God. Oh, what a wonderful time is coming on this poor earth. Between the rapture and the appearing is a space of time. Some believers think it's synonymous, but it isn't. There is a time between the rapture and the appearing. Sad time that will be in this world. And the world will be given up to the authority of a beast. A beast. We see signs of it today. Beast, that is, a creature without a natural home and without natural affection. And men will follow and serve the beast. Oh, what a day is coming. And in Thessalonians it speaks of it, the coming wrath. I'm not looking for the coming wrath. Every heart here that loves the Lord Jesus is looking for our deliverer from the coming wrath. And Paul went into Thessalonica. He didn't stay there very long. 3 Sabbath days in the synagogue, he reasoned with people who inhabited the place. 3 weeks, 21 days. And I suppose most of those days were ordinary working days. When people went out to work, it was the Sabbath days when they were free that they met together and Paul spoke to them. I don't suppose it was only the Sabbath days. I imagine that Paul used every moment. He used every opportunity. And those that turned to God from idols would use every opportunity to hear the Lord's word. As you read these 2 epistles that he wrote to them, you see what a depth and wealth and expanse of things that he spoke to them about. He reminds them of it in his letters, doesn't he? He says, for example, we used to exhort each one of you that ye should walk worthy of God. He says again, for also when we were with you, we told you beforehand that we're about to be in tribulation. And he wrote to these beloved saints a second letter. And he says to them in that letter, do ye not remember that being yet with you, I said these things to you? What a wonderful thing it is to be in the company of those that love the Lord Jesus as often as you can. If it be a day when you have to go to work and there's a meeting in the evening, be there, because the Lord will speak. And Paul writes to them and he says, don't you remember what I said to you? How much there is as we wait for the moment of the Lord's coming. How much there is to learn. of that glorious scene that he fills, and how wondrous to learn of the person who fills it. And so Paul went there. Remarkable, you know, in his journeys, it says, and having journeyed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. Places that were passed through in order that Paul might come to a particular place in the sovereignty of God where persons such as you and me might be addressed and be brought to know God. And so this simple verse, often used and well known, he's reminding them of how they turned. Jacob, at the end of his life, as we were saying earlier today, was reminding persons of how God had come in for him. And it's a great thing, you know, as you look in the faces of those that love the Lord Jesus, faces that have known a lot of sorrows and a lot of pain and suffering and a lot of heartbreak, but you can see experience with God. This is not sentimental or fanciful. There are persons here that have got a very valuable thing within them. It's experience with God. And it begins when you turn to God. These persons turned to God from idols, and they submitted themselves totally to that blessed God. They served him. They devoted their lives, their energy, their time, their money to that God, because they recognize that they're in a scene that's only passing, and they were looking for a time of eternity when they were going to enjoy the presence of that God as known in Jesus. And so it says they were waiting. They were awaiting his Son from the heavens. You say, well, this was written all that long time ago, and they were waiting then. How much more should we be waiting? Who are we waiting for? His Son, the Son of God. We were singing of it, see the Son of God appear. A wonderful thing it is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. What a serious error of the devil that he would blind men's eyes as to that glorious fact that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. And they're waiting for God's Son from the heavens. And Paul adds, whom he raised from among the dead. Oh, how lovely, you know, we keep coming back to the gospel. Whom he raised from among the dead. It's where Christianity begins, isn't it? The resurrection of Jesus. If Christ be not raised, then you're still in your sins, and your faith is made vain. But Christ is raised. Whom he raised from among the dead. Glorious truth of resurrection. You don't have to wait for Easter Monday to talk about it. Jesus is risen. And you can enjoy the thought today and every day. Doesn't have to be a special day. Paul was writing to these persons and reminding them that God had raised Jesus from among the dead. Oh, how it would affect their hearts to think that Jesus had had to die to deliver them from idolatry, to set them free from their sins. Let us be thankful, dear brethren, for what the Lord Jesus has done for us in liberating us, setting us free from our sins, to be here for him, to wait for him, our deliverer, from the coming wrath. Well, wrath is coming. Terrible time it will be. As I said, we do not know perhaps how long it is between the rapture and the appearing. Remember reading Mr. McBride saying that 24 hours would be enough to convince men how terrible it was to be there in that day. Oh, what wondrous mercy that we have a deliverer. Not only one who's delivered us from the burden and guilt of what we were and what we are, but he's also our deliverer from the coming wrath. Let us wait for him. Let us be here that those that are waiting for the Lord Jesus to come. Paul was, you know, he writes in 2 Timothy of the time of his release has come. What a prospect that was for the apostle. Beloved sister taken in a place not far from here. Time of her release. She's with Christ, which is very far better. What a wonderful privilege that is, to be amongst those who will rise first. When the Lord calls, they'll hear his voice. Everyone. We think of those that heard it. We think of Jairus' daughter. Little girl heard the voice of Jesus. Think of the young man, the son of the widow of Nain. You think of Lazarus. These are persons that heard the voice of the Son of God. And they that have heard shall live. Think of it being fulfilled when he comes. And his voice will call every sleeping saint from the grave. Even those whose bodies cannot be found. None will be missed. And every living saint will be taken up. And so Paul says, the time of my release has come. And he says sorrowfully, Demas has forsaken me. Having loved the present age. Present age. You're often reminded that there's nothing said about a particular wickedness. But it's just the present age that Demas loved. We were reading earlier today of Peter writing a letter to persons who were going astray as sheep, but have now returned. Now returned. It's the same word, you know. Demas loved the now age. If that doesn't seem to make sense, we have the actual expression in Peter of the then world and the now heavens and earth. It brings it right into the present moment when you think of the now age, the present age. The moment that's all around us. What is it that marks the present age? If you think about what men are going in for. Think of what they're striving after and seeking. Think of what the newspapers are full of. Demas got involved in it and he loved it. And because of it, he gave up Paul. I don't need to say anything about that. There was a word in this place last year from our brother sitting here about giving up Paul and saying that's only Paul. Thank God there are those who value Paul's teaching and accept it as scripture and would obey it because it is the word of the Lord. Demas forsook Paul because he loved the present age. Might have been something very simple. You know, it speaks in Isaiah of taking something, a piece of wood, and employing it usefully for warmth. If you add fire to wood, it will burn and give out warmth. And you can cook with it, and it becomes an idol. Solemn word that, you know. Think, for example, of electricity. Now, God has provided electricity for the blessing of man. Warmth. Cooking. And then man takes it, takes what's left and uses it for idolatry. How much there is today that's on that line. People speak of the electronic age and all that man has with his television and video, record players and the like. It's the present age. We need to be very guarded because it's so easy to love these kind of things. How occupied man is with sport. How filled the minds and the conversations of men in places of work are. You talk to men on a Monday morning and they're filled with the sport of the weekend. It's the present age. Oh, dear brother and sister, older brethren too, be on your guard. Because these things have a habit of remaining. And you can love the present age. Music and other things, I need not go on. Present age. And it filled Demas so much that he gave up Paul and he went to Thessalonica. Oh, you say it was a good place to go. Well, if he got to Thessalonica and he sought the company of the saints, what would they be talking about? They'd be talking about Paul's ministry, wouldn't they? They'd be saying, look, Paul's written to us. And he says, don't you remember that while I was with you, I told you this? They'd be talking about the coming age. They'd be talking about the appearing. They'd be talking about Jesus, our deliverer from the coming wrath. I don't think Demas would have felt very comfortable there. But oh, if he found the company of the saints there, maybe he repented and returned. Do you know there were also in Thessalonica, says, doesn't it, describes them most aptly, a picture of persons today, certain wicked men of the lowest rabble. You think of all that's got into the heart of man. The beast that's coming already, his influence being felt and seen in the cruelty and violence that's going on in this world. That was in Thessalonica too. Oh, you say Demas, of course, wouldn't descend to that. No. Where was Demas then? Somewhere in between. Lukewarm. Lukewarm. Oh, if there's any dear heart here today that's lukewarm, I'd appeal to you to now return to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. The word lukewarm, Mr. Beeston said, it's perfect conditions for leaven to work. The word lukewarm relates to a matter of taste, doesn't it? Think of the Lord Jesus taking something and finding that it's lukewarm. He says, I am about to spew thee out of my mouth. Oh, the taste of what is lukewarm. It's nothing of reality. Oh, that our hearts might be real as we wait for him to come. Demas went to Thessalonica, left Paul, and went there. Solemn now. Oh, if there's one that's thinking along those lines, or perhaps you're not exactly conscious that you're on those lines, but maybe you've just given up a little bit here and there. Paul says you've forsaken. He's forsaken me, and he's gone. Well, let us be warned, because the Lord's coming is near, we know not how much time we have. We have the present moment. Not to love the present age, but to be occupied with his appearing. He speaks, doesn't he, of those that love the Lord's appearing. Used to worry me as to how you could love his appearing. But I've come to it that it relates to the inner man of the heart, the hidden man of the heart. That's an adornment for sisters, you know. Better than any adornment of the present age. To have the hidden man of the heart. Brothers and sisters, of course. Because the Lord Jesus at the present moment is hidden publicly. Soon he's going to take up his rights. How wondrous to think of that. But at the moment he's hidden. Son of righteousness will arise. But at the moment it's below man's horizon. But it can be in your heart. The hidden man of your heart. And as you make room for him in there, you'll find that you love his appearing. And you begin to appreciate an age that's coming. Eternal things, things not yet seen. Things that are open to the eye of faith and the pathway of faith. We sang at the beginning of these meetings about that realm where naught of sin can enter, where joy eternal is. It's going to be the portion of everyone that loves him to have part in that realm. But you can come into it now in faith. And so the Lord Jesus himself, speaks of a man who's blessed. A man who is committed in the Lord's absence to a pathway of faithfulness. He says, blessed is that bondman whom his Lord on coming shall find doing thus. I wonder if we think enough of what it means to the heart of the Lord Jesus to look upon us here as he does. We're speaking of the angels looking upon us, and we're thankful for their care and at times intervention for our protection. To think of the heart of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord, it says, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Think of Jesus looking. What does he see? I said at the beginning that a question I ask my heart is, what would I like to be found doing when the Lord comes? There's a man here, we didn't read of him, who says, my Lord delays to come. It's a feature of the last days, isn't it? That there'll be persons who will say, where's the promise of his coming? All these years have gone since the Thessalonians were waiting for him. He's delaying to come. This is what this evil man says. Oh, let us not think that. But let us be aware that the Lord's coming is very near. And always be in the light of it. Let us not go in for or touch, or do or say anything of which we'd be ashamed when he comes. So the Lord says, well, a given person something to do, to provide food for his household. Blessed is that bondman whom his Lord on coming shall find doing thus. You ever thought of speaking to persons? Will you say, speak to persons who are unsaved? Yes. That more might be brought to know the deliverer from the coming wrath. But have you ever thought what it is, what pleasure heaven has in your conversation? Even when you're talking to persons who are sitting here and you get home, what's the conversation about? Speaks of providing food. In relation to a household and food in season, there's always something that we can find that is seasonal, that we can speak about that's positive, and it's food. How important it is to build one another up. As you think of persons, their little children here, and how as they grow, according to the right food that they receive, naturally, how important it is for every one of us that we receive just this portion of food. You say, I can't take in very much. Wonderful just to get from every meeting a simple impression of the Lord Jesus and to have it stored in your heart, because you'll never lose it and it'll be used for your blessing. Well, the Lord's coming is near. There are negative things in these scriptures, coming wrath, one who's turned away from Paul, and an evil bond. But may we out of it see that there's a positive line that's going through in persons whose hearts are on fire whilst they wait for the coming of the Lord, our deliverer from the coming wrath. May we be waiting for him and rejoicing whilst we wait for his name's sake. Amen.